Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare fully there when you sing, because today we will do a lot of meditation, so you have to learn now as you chant to be completely there in the mantra which you sing. Please sing now. Hare Krishna. Please sing. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Please raise your hands in the air and then very, very from the heart chant together. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama purifier of the fallen, the deliverer of the lowest persons. Oh, you are the form of Radha and Krishna, and non-different from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I offer my obeisances unto you. Let me congratulate you sincerely for your second day it is, and your first extra rounds day. Also, let me congratulate you that you did some experiments with the sacred practice of Monam. In the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada says Monam is meant to pacify the mind. There is a very nice quotation from the third canto where Srila Prabhupada comments on Kardama Muni, who after he had completed the duties of his particular Grihastha ashram, left in the house and followed the order of Monam. You can find that Yes, thank you. You can find that in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. We can even ask Manu maybe to find it with his computer skills. Now you are allowed to talk again. And I would like that you turn to your neighbor and share with your neighbor for 5 minutes what you experienced during this last session. Please tell the highlights, tell maybe the points where you felt there's room for improvement in your practice. It's important that you now talk and share, and the best is you talk and share about the experience you just had. It's also necessary because we will go now on a very nice journey, and for me this particular session is a session I personally, as a facilitator, appreciate the most of my sessions. You will see there is also some place for humor in that session, which you will now see. But please now quickly find yourself a neighbor and then share with a neighbor. It will be a volcanic sharing. In other words, please talk fully and nicely, fully involved. The idea is we need to talk now. Yes? Start now. You have 2 more minutes. Please talk fully. What? Talk. Just as it comes. Yes. Best is both talk, you know. Do you wish to have more time? Yes. Okay, so time to switch, Rukmini. Well, I thought just talk back and forth and high and up and low and down and left and right and so on. But if you have not switched yet, then it's time to switch, I guess. Yes. Yeah. So you will have, Prabhupada, we have a lot to do today, so 2 minutes more. Talk like anything. The idea is talk. You are not shy to talk, no? Hari Prasad and Om Hrishikesh, talking should go on now. Hari Hari Bol. We found the quotation on silence or monam in the Bhagavatam. It appears in the third canto, in 24th chapter, text 42. And I would like to read to you Prabhupada's comments on this, and then you can understand why it is so powerful and why it is in some cases even bringing out things which you usually are not aware of. Mona means silence, says Srila Prabhupada in the purpose. Unless one becomes silent, he cannot think completely about the pastimes and activities of the Lord. It is not that because one is a fool and cannot speak nicely, he therefore takes a vow of Mona. No, rather, one becomes silent so that people will not disturb him. Oops. It is said that Chanakya Pandit, it is said by Chanakya Pandit that a rascal appears very intelligent as long as he does not speak. But speaking is the test. The so-called silence of a silent impersonalistic Swami indicates that he has nothing good to say. He simply wants to beg. But the silence adopted by Kadama Muni, this is also what the type of monom which we want to accept, was not like that. He became silent for relief from nonsensical talk. That's very nice. The mind is relieved. But like everything new which we undertake in our life, the mind may react in almost a cathartic sense. That means things come to the surface. Why is this so? Well, it's very simple. The moment you leave the comfort zone of what you are accustomed to do, that moment new things pop up and come up. When you cross over the threshold and renew yourself and renew your life and introduce new aspects, features, activities, thoughts, something new in your life, that moment you start to really learn. Therefore, every day think something new by reading the sacred scriptures. That's the reason we should stretch every week. Talk with someone new. Have association. Converse. And once a year go on sacred pilgrimage. This is how in olden times people would do. I would like to now bring you into an exercise which we will do during this whole afternoon session. An exercise which we could call be connected, be there, be present. In chanting, we often experience difficulties because our tongue and vocal cords do one thing, but our mind is not connected with what we are doing at that particular moment. And there is a divergence, a gap, sometimes an abyss of what we do and what we think. We are absent-minded. In chanting, you have to learn to be present-minded. I would like to bring to you the attention of one wonderful verse from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he talks about this. Forget the past that sleeps, and never the future dream at all, but act in times that are with thee, and progress thee shall call. Because most of us speak modern English, I have translated this in modern English. Forget the past that is gone and sleeps, and do not dream of the future, but act now in the present, and you will make progress. Being present in the presence has been advocated by Mrs. Oprah. She has taken one German called Eckhart Tolle under her wings and has really substantially furthered his thought, where he talks of the power of now. And I believe many of you have in some ways heard about this. It was a buzzing word in the New Age scene and also in the American devotional community, which is not soundproof against the New Age scene. Power of now is a very simple ancient concept, presented in a way which modern people seem to understand it, but it's really very, very let me say, basic knowledge which we can find in all traditions. And I'm happy that Eckhart Tolle doesn't really say that it's his invention. It's really, he picks it up. We also have this understanding in our thing when we yesterday Divyambara chanted this Shriyakanta Parama Purusha Kalpataruvo verse, where the spiritual world is described and where it is said that there is an eternal presence there which doesn't go away. If you think about it, the past is something which is really gone. You have no influence of it. But unfortunately, you are influenced by it because the past has put deep impressions into you and conditions you. The way you act and think is often because samskaras or deep impressions have been placed into you, into your past. And sometimes we are really, when we are not careful, totally bound by something which is gone, which is not here now, which is not existent at the moment. And many people who act just according to the impressions they have taken from the past are really past wallahs. They are have-beens, or however you say. You can see that sometimes in the context of a movement where people criticize what has been happening to them in the past, and they are so hung up by what he did and he said and the GBC and the weather in India and everything which the circumstances, but that is gone. Others, the mind also likes to go into the future, planning. Now, I sometimes, when I come to a place, devotees ask me, when do you come next time, Maharaj? I say, Are? I've just come. I'm here. Could we talk now, please? Let us not talk about the future. I've seen many of us are either in the past or in the future. Be at the only moment which always is. The only moment which you have is now. It's now. And our devotees, our Burijan Prabhu has crafted from this understanding a practice which he calls one mantra. I think you know. Now is the mantra. That's all. Not even, I even say to Burijan Prabhu, let's make it one syllable. That's even more. When you are ha, be with the ha. When you with the re, be with the re. Hare Krishna. Connect. Be present. Don't be disconnected. By this constant influx of media and information and the one-eyed guru TV and his guru in his lineage, the computer G, are constantly bringing this overload of information that we are totally, leave me alone with this information. And that many people lose the present moment. They lose it. They are either in the future, then I will buy this, and then this will come over the email, or they are in the past, what happened to them in the past. But in chanting, and in this way, they are never connected really with their lives. But in chanting, we need to connect. We need to be present-minded. Not absent-minded. Forget the past that is gone and sleeps. And never the future dream at all, but act in times that are with thee. Act at the time which is present and progress these shall call. You can make progress in this way. So I would not really like to go so deep into explaining this more, because I would now like to do a fantastic exercise with you, which shall bring you in the presence. This is very, very amazing. And we have set up the exercise ground in the big prayer hall. I request you to all go into that big prayer hall, not the small japa hall, and wait for further instructions. It's important that you go now. Please don't get lost on the way to the world of Pasharam or whatever. But come now. No, it's totally experiential. It's something else. It's not even standing and sitting. It's something else. No cushion is needed. Bring your beads. Yes. Bring your beads. My dear devotees, we will now come to the essence of this little journey. There is one great acharya in our line called Gopal Guru Goswami. I believe you have all heard about him. It is said that it was he who, as a little boy, saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming out of the bathroom. Mahaprabhu, who didn't want to chant the Maha Mantra in Muchi place, held his tongue between his teeth. Gopa, the little boy, 8 years old, said, "Why are you holding your tongue with your two teeth?" "My tongue always wants to chant the names of God. And I don't want to do that at a dirty place." "But the names of God can never be contaminated." "And also," said the little boy, "also you never know when you will die." Gauranga Mahaprabhu looked at this boy. He was charmed by the profound wisdom and the childlike innocence in which he spoke. And therefore, he embraced him and said, "Your name is Gopal Guru. You are my guru." Later, Gopal Guru wrote and had a disciple called Dhyan Chandra Goswami, who took care of the legacy of his guru by writing the Sri Gaur Govinda Chan Smarana Padati, which details the practice of Gaudiya Vaishnavism in the contemplative line. Although this line is more the Bhajanandi line, and has instructions for those who enter Smaran, there is one important section which is also very relevant for us. A section which describes what is good japa. Now I want to see one thing. Can you make some light? It's so dark. So in this work, the three qualities of good japa is given, and we will practice on one quality. But I will tell you first the three. Maybe we find switch. Yes, here it is coming. It's a little bit better. It's not that I have an existential need to sit in the light. It's just a little bit more cultured. Yes, you have now switched off the light in the back. It's all right. Now we have. This is very good. When you chant, these are the characteristics of japa. The sadaka shall not move his head and neck, nor show his teeth. There was a time when one of my aspiring disciples, his name was Ari, long ago this was, when he chanted, it sounded like from a movie because he was clenching his teeth so much that the teeth were colliding in his mouth and created a great noise, which reminded me at the times when tigers were running behind me to try to eat me. It was an extremely frightening experience to sit next to him. The sadaka shall not move his head and neck, nor show his teeth. Now, this is a known instruction amongst those who chant japa. It comes from the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has made one exception. I know sometimes devotees say, but when I go to a chopati, my God, there's a lot of head shaking and neck shaking and tooth showing. So Bhaktivinoda said, while pronouncing the holy name, the devotee might experience some movement in the heart. So then it's all right when you are a little bit moved by the ecstasy to move your body while chanting. But it should be some ecstatic movement. No need of rajagun in the morning. So normal instruction, we should not move our head and neck nor show our teeth. But if we do, it can be assumed that there is profound ecstasy in the heart. And then it's also all right. These, as I say, they are external instructions. I'm just reading them to you for your kind information. They are external. What really is indispensable will come in a little while. The next thing is, when you chant Jap, you should sanctify your mind by withdrawing it from the objects of the senses. I remember when I was chanting when I was a young bhakta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I all of a sudden thought of this concert with Jimi Hendrix, which I appreciated greatly when I was 12 years old. And I went like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, because the music was churning in me and I was being churned by the... He shall sanctify his mind by withdrawing it from the objects of the senses. As you chant, try to bring the mind back from wherever it wanders due to its restless nature. Then, the next thing is the sadaka should ponder or contemplate the meaning of the mantra. We have dealt with this, that from time to time you can chant, think, my dear Radha, my dear Krishna, please engage me in your service. And then the third is maintaining silence, or monam. I request you make it a habit when you chant around to always finish the round without being interrupted. If a phone call comes during this time and it is urgent, you may pick it up and say, one moment, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. How can I serve you?
At least the mantra you should finish. If it's an urgent phone call, if it is not so urgent, you can say after 2 or 3 minutes I will phone you back. Your number has registered on my BlackBerry. So in this way you can come to the habit of finishing around. This is a very good habit. It's a very respectful habit. Isn't it? When you talk to someone and someone comes in between, you say, this is one moment, we are almost finished, you know, talking. And then after you have finished the sentence or the 3 sentences which need to be finished to complete, at least a part of the conversation, then you turn freely to the person who has arrived and see how you can serve him or her and his concerns. So these 3 things is something we will not practice, but now comes what we will practice. Good japa means the mantra should be first placed into the core of the devotee's mind, and then the devotee's mind should be placed into the core of the mantra. What does that mean? The mantra should be placed within the mind. That means what Bhujang Prabhu has coined, one mantra at a time, that you are really present in that chanting. We will try to now apply this first instructions, and then we will move on to placing the mind into the core of the mantra. That is quite an intense practice. It's level 3 practice. So let us first do the level 1 and level 2. I request you now to chant on your own 1 complete round by just trying patiently to bring the mantra in your mind. Just see it like this, as if you are drinking a cup of water and bringing this water inside of you. I request you to chant with the same idea or same concept, maybe same meditational picture. You bring the mantra now inside your mind. You drink the mantra and you let the mantra reverberate in your mind. This is the first step. Then we will go to the next step. Kindly start now, and really please give it your best so that you can be ready for the second, much more complex process. So, my dear devotees, the mantra should be first placed into the core of the devotee's mind, and then when the mind is pervaded by the mantra, or the mantra is in the mind, then the mind should be firmly placed and anchored within the heart of the mantra. Now I asked you, what could be the heart of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Rukmini has an idea. The lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Any other contributions? It's a good question, isn't it? Yes, Vrindavan Chandra, I believe, is your good name. Vrindavan Nath, yes. Maybe Hare could be the heart of the mantra. Kosharupa. The heart of Krishna, Krishna is in the devotee's heart, and Krishna is in the devotee's heart and the devotee is in Krishna's heart. Kosha Rupi, Rupa, you are really a scientist of transcendental philosophy. Krishna's in the heart of the devotee and the devotee is in Krishna's heart. Any other contribution? Kanamrita Prabhu? The heart of the mantra could be the heart of the sadhu who gives the mantra. Well, see, when you chant any mantra, like the Gayatri mantra, we hear that there is an Ishta Devata of that mantra. And that mantra is revealed. Srila Gokishore Das Babaji said something about this when he advised one Grihastha couple in a letter which he dictated that while you chant, you should look at the letters of the Maha Mantra and then from there Radha and Krishna will come out. So when a devotee is placing the mantra into his mind and then the mind into the heart of the mantra, he is really chanting to Radha and Krishna. And at a certain state in his or her Krishna consciousness, there might be a slight revelation of the Ishta Devata, or more than a slight revelation, or even a full revelation. Therefore, chant the Maha Mantra, and when you have placed him the mantra, the Naam Prabhu into your mind and then taken your mind and gone to Naam Prabhu. It's a unity. It's a relationship. It's you go with Radha and Krishna through thick and thin in your life. This is an exalted practice and I wanted to just request you for really we will do 2 German minutes to turn around. Jeep! There is Krishna waiting for you in the heart of the mantra. And as we sing to him, I request you to first do try this. Bring the mantra into your heart, into your mind, and then bring your mind. Yes. Thank you, Kosha Rupa. That needed to be exclaimed, this sound. And then bring the mind into the heart of the mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Mantra into your mind and the mind into the heart of the mantra. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare. Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Please turn here. Dyaka Purusha Prabhu, please come here. When you talked about the heart of the mantra as the divine couple, would that be wrong to consider the heart of the mantra Lord Gauranga? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur addresses this in a purport. This purport is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the name Gauranga is explained. It can mean Gauranga or it can be Radha and Krishna who come together. In this way, it's the Gaur Gopal mantra. Mm-hmm. Yes. It depends really on the inclination and direction of your spiritual journey, whom you wish to obtain. And there are, we understand, from Jaiva Dharma, some devotees who are exclusively devoted to Gauranga, some who are exclusively devoted to Radha and Krishna, and some who are devoted to both Gauranga and Radha and Krishna. So it depends on your spiritual journey, and here some spiritual counsel of a spiritual teacher is required to help you find your direction. Some counsel, some talking, some. These are the final subjects. But yes, in one word, it can mean both. Mm-hmm.
The
The prayer to Mother Bhumi can be found, I took it from the Pancharatrika Deepika. It is a work compiled by our Krishna Chaitra Prabhu. But I want to give you the Shastric reference, but you want to see where you can find it. Yes, the Pancharatra Deepika. That's a book, two books actually, bound in a red cloth bag. And I will tell you the beginning of the Sanskrit so that you can find it with the help of the computer experts, because I understand nowadays one can simply type these words in and then the mantra is there. Samudra Vasane Devi. Huh? So maybe if you are like me, not so versatile with the computer, you can ask the computer experts and they can find it for you. Thank you. Pancharatra Deepika. Huh? This two red bound books. But it is quoted from one ancient scripture. I have unfortunately the reference only Pancharatra, quoted in Pancharatra Deepika. Yes. Yes.
I was wondering if you asked the question, what would be the heart of the mantra, and different devotees gave different thoughts. Respond to that. So are you saying that that's a subjective realization that someone, according to someone's realization and
inclination? Well, the normal understanding is that the Hare Krishna mantra is a yugal mantra. That means, yugal means a combination of Radha and Krishna. Hare is Radha and Krishna is Krishna. So that's the normal understanding. However, there it can be chanted by sadhakas who have different understandings as well. Once Srila Prabhupada was consulted, two of his sannyasi disciples were in disagreement with each other. One said, Rama in the Hari Rama means Lord Balaram. Another said, no, Rama means Ramachandra. And both of them came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, Rama in the Hare Krishna mantra, said one, means Rama. Yes? Yes. The other said, but Rama in the Hare Krishna mantra, could it mean also Balaram? Yes. But Prabhupada, which one is it? Prabhupada said, you decide. That was not just a clever way of getting out of the discussion. Said, I don't, you decide. No, it was, you have to decide this. We hear from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that Rama doesn't mean either of the two. It means Rara Raman. And he said, if you chant with the understanding that Rama is Ayodhya Pati Ram, you will go to Ayodhya. But our goal is Vrindavan. So, you decide where you wish to go. It's so nice in the sense that this, see how much freedom, but at the same time, how much emphasis on is there on the single-mindedness of the devotees? Yes. Well, chanting, so earlier we heard, says Mahamaya, Mataji, that chanting means to decorate the deities. This idea is will be explained in tomorrow's day. There will be contributions from different speakers. That you chant in a service mood, and in that service mood, there are different expressions of service. I heard this for the first time from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, and I hope he does not, I don't tell something which is not to be told, but he says when he chants, he feels himself to be like a pujari who now enters the sacred deity room and he engages in various services to the deity. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has supplied a reference for this view of a sadhaka. He has said that in the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, all the other devotional services, 9 of them altogether, are included. So as you do your chanting, some devotees enter the realm of mental seva, no? And serve the Lord with flowers or other decorative elements. That is their on their advanced state of being. They chant and they want to do a seva while they approach Radha and Krishna and therefore decorate them, for instance. That is what some devotees do and in our tradition. No? Yes. Yeah. Can a drowning man be patient? Can a person devoured by a forest fire be very patient? He will be screaming and throwing his arms and legs everywhere. These are the intelligent sadhakas. Yeah. You know, when I'm a sannyasi, I've taken the sacred vows of this, and I'm thinking, how can I, when I'm drowning in the ocean, make a family? That's what I thought before I took sannyas. It's not possible. I'm drowning, you know. I don't have time to read the newspapers or make a family and go to work. You know, I'm drowning. I have to survive, you know. That was my determination for taking these vows. Hari Prasadji. I know you are also, Hari Prasad, this is a clever excuse which you give. You are boiling young man. Now you don't want to be patient. And you give some good philosophical reasons to cover up a psychological speciality of young men that is from New York. I would say like this, but you are right. When you're really in that space where you are, you know, feeling help, 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 don't be, then you're patient. But when you are in the mode of passion and you go then you should be a little patient, huh? I would say like this, Ashana Siddhi. But it's a good point. It's a good point. When you're really in that space, be urgent. Be desperate. Yeah. And then wait what will come. But Ajahn Siddhi, I cut you. Yeah. It's something like this, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Yeah. You can understand what Ajahn Siddhi says, yeah. One thing though I want to say in general, I admit that I have a little bit the Rajagun of the Hare Krishna on my, I don't know what you call that in radar. Yes. I shoot a little on this at the moment. I admit I have an agenda because we are called by many people as very Rajasic branch of spirituality. And sometimes they give examples where you have to say, yes. However, I really want to say this. When we hear instructions in the scripture for being patient, a little bit more, waiting, steadfast, all this. Or when we hear, when we chant, we should sit down. In the commentaries to the Vedanta Sutta, Baladev Vidyabhushana very, very clearly quotes different scriptures as saying that prayer and japa should not be done while walking, but one must sit down. One must, I could see that when I was in the Bhakti Center, we had the lecture, and you were just, everyone was trying to still get the Shikshastakam prayer in, and you were walking and doing things. Everyone, the whole ashram, my dear Lord, torrents of rain are coming from my eyes, and you were just, everyone was putting the temple room in order for the lecture, and I'm feeling your absence as pangs of millions of years, and I was in the midst of all this busyness, and I thought, what a novel way to engage in prayer, I was really, you could see, Gaurahari, I was really like, very, very new forms of prayer, prayerful expression. But then, so I think there is something to be said on this. But Baladev Vidyabhushana says, after having said, you must sit down when you pray and when you do japa, he says, but if you can concentrate better when you walk, then walk. This is so glorious about our tradition. Therefore, it's very necessary to have the full spectrum of the instructions. Ultimately, it is whatever helps you the best that you should adopt. Yagya Purusha is in charge. Yeah. Krishna is called Bhavagrahi Janarana. He always sees the bhava, the mood in the devotee. He never sees the external movement and so on. He's known for that. It's one of his names. Bhavagrahi. Grahi means, graha means the capturing, Janardana, the Lord who captures the mood of his devotee. So therefore we can say when someone needs to walk when he does japa to be more concentrated, Krishna is as pleased as someone who sits to be concentrated. Oh yeah, now I'm sorry. Yes, I understand you.
Why would Krishna say, don't worry, just be patient?
Yeah. I know that Prabhupada gave the example for patience of a young woman who is married and then cannot immediately expect to have a child. It takes first some time, you know. They have to get to know each other, and then they have to decide to have a child, and then it takes another 9 months before the child comes. It seems to be natural that a process of purification must go on. But why should you stop loving Krishna when the purification is happening? And so on. Krishna is not letting you suffer too much. Do you have enough to eat? Yes. Enough to sleep? Yes. If the mind wouldn't create a sleepless night, and so on. I think Krishna takes care of his devotees, our love is a little bit also requested to grow, you know, to full grown. And he gives us all the facilities, I feel. You know, if Krishna instantly comes, someone says, Krishna, and yes, he's not yet purified to see him and to realize him. And I think the gopis address Krishna like this, and Krishna, they say, why, we loved you, why did you go away? They really had in mind that Krishna is ungrateful. Are you perhaps ungrateful that we loved you and then you went away? And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says something so beautiful. I will try to repeat it as verbally, as literally as possible. He says, O gopis who do not understand my intentions. I have been away from you to make your love stronger. I have been away from you to make your love stronger. I was all the time with you. I was watching you. So then Vishwanath Chakravarti relates that to the chanters. Those devotees who do Naam Bhajan, Krishna also stays away from them to make their love stronger and to purify them. That's his way. He is an increaser of love. But you interpret, he is ungrateful. Hare Krishna. Because you do not understand Krishna's intentions. I'm putting now from this text. I'm arguing from this text.
Thank you.
Bravo! Well spoken, well spoken. We are finished now, Mother Irani. We have finished, we all feel cup as full. Yes. But thank you very much for this was a great, did you see what happened when Mother Indrani spoke with the wisdom of the elderly, you know, the elderly people, you young men, you know, and yes, we could feel his young men and wisdom, and yes, this is very good. Thank you very, very much. I feel very, how do you say it? This powerful and raw spirituality. We need that, you know. What should we do now? Yeah, Purusha Prabhu. Good.